Now let's start from the end and work backward. God said, go into all the world, preach the gospel of a creature. And he said, while you're going, he said, if you get sick, I'll take care of that. He said, if a poisonous serpent bites you, I'll take care of that. He said, if you drink any poison while you're carrying this message, I'll take care of that. Now, these are representative things. God is not saying that's all he'll do to protect you while you're out soul winning. These are representative things. For example, I have an idea that if a spider bit you, God would take that spider just like snake biting you. I have an idea that if you took a pill, somebody gave you a pill that was poisonous, God would protect you from that just like he would if you drank something poisonous. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that these things are representative things. What God is saying is, I'll take care of you while you're soul winning. That's what God is saying. I'll protect you. That's all he's saying. And he chooses a few things, such as drinking deadly poison and being bitten by a deadly serpent, and uses those sort of as extreme things. Like we say, from here to Timbuktu, or from Kalamazoo, from Walla Walla, Washington to Kalamazoo. We're putting boundaries on things. And what God is simply saying is this. He's saying, even if such an absurdity as this takes place, I'll protect you if you go soul winning. God isn't telling us here to have a church service and invite rattlesnakes in. Though I've been in some services that had snakes in them. God isn't saying that. Some little churches down south got together and they decided that they're going to prove this is true. And so they bring rattlesnakes to church and play with them and so forth. They called themselves a certain name. I call them first idiot churches. But in no way, Jose, in no way I'm going to do that. God isn't saying that that's all he's going to protect you from. God is using that as an extremity. He's saying, all the way from here to whatever could happen to you, I'll take care of you while you go soul winning. Now, follow me carefully. We're going to start at the end, work backward. First, we're going to start at God's protection. God said, I'll protect you. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of protection? Wouldn't you love to have God protecting you all the time? By the way, that's exactly what he says in Matthew's version of the Great Commission. We said, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the age. Same thing. He's simply saying, I'll be there to take care of you. And in Mark, he says, here are a couple of examples of things I'll take care of. But he wasn't listing all of them. They're just representative things that God does to carry out what he said he'd do. And he said, lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. So, God's protection. That's a good thing. All of us want God's protection. All of us want God's hand of protection upon us. Now, working backward, from God's protection, backward. Now, that protection is promised here only when in the work of God. He said, these signs shall follow those that believe. Now, what are those that believe doing? They're going somewhere. You can't follow something not going somewhere anymore. You can come back where you ain't been. And so God is saying, as long as you're going somewhere, well, where are they going? He just told them where to go. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Just told them where to go. And he said, as you go, these signs shall follow you. So you don't go, you don't get protection. God is not saying, I'll protect all of my people. Oh, God gets blamed for a lot. God gets credit for a lot of things he doesn't deserve, and God gets blamed for a lot of things he doesn't deserve. But no, God doesn't say, I'll protect all of my people. God doesn't say that at all. God is saying here, I'll protect the fellow that's going and preaching the gospel to every creature. I'll protect the soul winner. That's what God is saying. So it's not a promise to all believers. Now let's go backward again. Another step. Are you listening? God, we start over here with protection. God says, I'll protect you, and gives us two examples of that protection. Drinking of something that's poisonous, God said, I'll protect you from that. And if you're bit by a deadly serpent, I'll protect you from that. And what he's saying is, everything between that and where you are now, I'll protect you from all of it. So, but he says, there's a stipulation. You've got to be going. These signs shall follow those that believe. Now let's go back another step. This protection only comes when we're going. But it only comes when we're going in the power of the Holy Spirit. God said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So the commission, we start in the middle of the Great Commission. The Great Commission says go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and we start there. That's not where it starts. It starts back yonder saying, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Starts back there saying, get the power of God on you. We say, to quote the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, or go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the age. No, you started right in the middle of it. He says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and then ye shall be witnesses unto me. So God goes back farther than the go. God goes back to the power in which you go. So God is saying, you want protection? Okay, I'll give it to you. How do I get it, God? You go. Is that all? No, you go in my power. That's what he's saying. Now I want to say something here, and this is the crux of my sermon tonight. I want you to follow me carefully. We have really sinned in this matter, and we have almost become Catholic in our doctrine in this matter. We have almost allocated the power of the Holy Spirit to preachers. And that's wrong. We have almost said that, oh God, we say, give our preacher, fill our preacher with the Holy Spirit while he preaches. Now, that's not all of it. We have almost limited the fullness of the Holy Spirit to preachers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in, I don't turn to it, but it says, talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it says, it shall come to pass, afterward, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, all flesh means layman flesh as well as preacher flesh. All flesh means female flesh as well as male flesh. All flesh means young flesh as well as old flesh. All flesh means layman, our plumber flesh as well as preacher flesh. All flesh means everybody in this room. This promise is to everybody in this room. And the power of the Holy Spirit is not a clergy power, it is a Christian power. It is not just for the fellow stands behind the pulpit and preaches. It is for every single believer. So the Great Commission is for every single believer. Because the power is given in order to carry out the Great Commission. So if the power is for all flesh, then the purpose of the power is for all flesh. You see what I'm trying to say? Okay, if that be true, then the protection is for all flesh. This protection here is not God saying, I'll protect my preachers. That's not what he's saying. He says, I'll protect my people. He says, if they go soul winning. He's not saying, if my preachers go soul winning, if my people go soul winning. And then he's saying, but they must go in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not saying, if the preacher goes in the power of the Holy Spirit. No, he says, if I'll protect all of my believers, if they will obey my command to go soul winning, are you listening now? And if they'll do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read farther along. It's going to pass afterward, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. What's he saying? I'll pour out my Spirit upon the lady that cleans the motel room. I'll pour out my Spirit upon the fellow who drives the taxi cab. I'll pour out my Spirit upon the person that mows the yard, shovels the snow. He's saying everybody, now by the way, he's saying using servants and handmaids here, much like he used what we used a while ago, the drinking of the poison and being bitten by a deadly serpent. He's going out to an extremity. He's saying all the way from the man that stands behind a pulpit to the least, and the least is always the greatest when it comes to servants, but as man counts the least important job there is, God said this mighty power of the Holy Spirit is available for everybody. So that means that God wants to protect you. But you can't claim God's protection unless you are obeying, because God said these signs shall follow those that believe. Didn't say they'll hang around those that believe, they'll follow those that believe. Now, if you can't follow, somebody's not going anywhere, so where are they going? He just said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So God is simply saying, now let's turn around and let's use it front-wise here. We started back here at protection and witnessing and power. We've gone backward. Now let's turn it around. God said, first thing you're supposed to do is get the Holy Spirit's power upon your life. Second thing you're supposed to do is go soul winning. Third thing you're supposed to do, the third thing that'll happen, I'll give you protection. That's turning it around in the right order. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, this is very, very delicate here. The same power
to help others and to witness is also that same power to resist the enemies. Did you hear me? Let me take a hose here for a minute. Don't turn this on. This is a water hose right here, and water's coming up through here. Now I'm going to let this hose represent the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, now the purpose of the Holy Spirit power is to what? Get people what? Saved. Get people what? Saved. All right, so we're going to take this, and we're going to put... Now, by the way, the water in the hose won't do anything. You've got to have pressure. So, you take this hose, and the power of the Holy Spirit to get people saved. But this same water, and Bible uses the Holy Spirit, a water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It says, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. As this water, now follow me carefully, as this water that is going to go forth, the Holy Spirit, to get people saved, as it comes through you, it cleanses you as it comes. So, that's what Jesus meant when he said, he that bringeth forth, every branch that bringeth forth fruit, he purgeth it. Why? It'll bring forth more fruit. So if you decide to go soul winning and the power of the Holy Spirit comes in you, now please listen to me, or everybody carefully. I know this is sort of Wednesday nightish, but I want you to get this. That same power that God gives you in order to go out yonder soul winning, that same power as it comes through you, it cleanses you. And that same power as a byproduct protects you and gives you resistance against the enemy, same power. Now, the power is given for soul winning, but God says, while you go soul winning, anybody bothers you, I'll take care of him for you. And that's the same Holy Spirit that takes care of him. And God says, I'll cleanse you while you go. And that's the same Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit that comes forth from you to go out yonder and get the person saved, as it comes through you, it cleanses you. And as it goes forth from you, it also protects you. Now, follow me carefully. This power that flows through you must be used and not possessed. Lord, give me the power. I know people prayed for that and haven't won a soul since they got it. Power of the Holy Spirit is not given to you to possess. It's given to you to use for soul winning. But it must be used, not possessed. But it is a power that not only causes people to get saved, but protects you while you go and cleanses you while it flows. Illustration. If you go out to water your plants in the front yard, the flower bed, I'll guarantee you water those plants for a while, I'll guarantee you the inside of your holes will be clean. Now, far too many of us are trying to clean hoses. You just turn that pressure on, let that water flow through that hose, and it's a byproduct, the hose gets clean. You understand what I'm saying? The purpose of the water is not to clean the hose. The purpose of the... Boy, this is good. The purpose of the water is not to clean the hose. The purpose of the water is to help the plants to grow. But you can't get that water from the source of supply to those plants without it cleansing everything it goes through. That's why soul-winning Christians are not movie-watching Christians. That's why soul-winning Christians don't watch movies at home or at the movie theater. That's why soul-winning Christians will be clean Christians. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Doesn't say he purgeth it and then it brings fruit. No. The bringing of fruit causes the Holy Spirit to come through you, and when he comes through you, he cleanses you just like the water that goes through the hose cleanses the hose. So if you want to be clean on the inside, you don't try to get clean on the inside. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and obey God and go soul winning in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a byproduct, that power flowing through you will cleanse you. It'll cleanse your mind. It'll cleanse your body. It'll cleanse your soul. It'll make you clean. It'll make you pure. Oh, somebody says, oh, Brother House, I'm having such a tough time having a young people, especially young men, say this all the time to me. Brother House, I'm having such a tough time keeping my mind clean. Well, turn the pressure on and let the Holy Spirit squirt out at the sinners, and it'll go through you, and it'll cleanse you while it's being used. as a byproduct. Now, it also does something else. This same Holy Spirit, okay. Did you ever see, maybe in the news, did you ever notice that if they're having a riot somewhere, the firemen will come and turn on the what? The hose. And boy, that'll take care of it. You let that one of those big old fire hoses, you let that come at you and you're going to feel led to leave. Now, that fire hose was not made to make you leave. I was watching the news in a distant city not long ago. Oh, it's been a few years ago. And watching, and they were showing a fire. And people got too close to the fire. And here's what happened. The firemen had these big hoses, and they were shooting the water on the fire. Then a bunch of people came and tried. They'd probably set the place on fire, and they came and tried to stop the firemen. And the firemen took the same hose that was putting out the fire, and they shot the stuffings out of this crowd that was giving them trouble. That's exactly what God is saying here. God is saying here, I've got a power to give you, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that power is for soul winning, putting out hell fire, getting folks saved. But if anybody causes you some trouble, just turn the hose on them. The same water that will put out the fire will put them out. That's what he's saying. That's what it means here in Mark chapter 16. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Purpose of it is to get folks saved. But by the way, that same power that gets folks saved will also take care of your enemies. This Holy Spirit power is the fear fighter. It's the depression fighter. It's the discouragement fighter. It's the worry fighter. It's the enemy fighter. You see, what I'm saying is, don't go around fighting your battle. The fireman doesn't take the hose down there and squirt on people while the building's burning. Everything the fireman does, if he squirts the hose on somebody, it's because they're trying to block the firefighting. Trying to get the building to burn. So, firemen don't go out in the street every day and practice how to squirt on people. So, I'm saying that this same power, that's what Paul meant when he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I'd like to have that. I used this on a Sunday morning not long ago. Paul said, I'd like to have that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I'd like to have that and use it for other things too. That's what he's saying. This same power that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. He said, I bet that power that raised up Jesus from the dead can make a Christian quit smoking too. I bet the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead can make a Christian quit drinking and cussing. I bet it'd make him quit reading dirty magazines and watching dirty programs on television. Paul said, I'd like to have that same power that raised up Jesus from the dead. I'd like to have that to use for other things also. And that's what this is. This same power that's given for soul winning as a byproduct cleanses you as it flows through you, or as he, the Holy Spirit, flows through you. And also, Jesus said, I will keep you from dying if you drink deadly poison, if you're obeying the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I also will keep you protected. You want God's protection? Go soul winning. You want God's protection? Go soul winning the power of the Holy Spirit. Get the Holy Spirit's power, then use it for what it was given for. And God said, I'll protect you even under protecting you from drinking poison or getting bit by a rattlesnake or a deadly serpent. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, I'll run. You be the running back and I'll be the blocking back. But you don't run, I won't block. Now look, here's Walter Payton. He's back in the backfield, quarterback takes the ball, tosses it back to him. And he just stands there with the ball. He holds the ball. I got a little ball here. Gotta shoot it first. I just love to play. Boom. I'm gonna get the devil if he ever comes around here. But anyway. I just want you to know, folks, that I'm not all intellectual brilliance. I also have a little childhood in me, too. But here's Walter Payton. And Walter Payton, they toss the ball back to him. He holds the ball.
Pretty ball. Pretty ball.
And these blockers up there, the tackles and the guards in the center, they're getting their noses smashed in up there, blocking for him. While he's saying, pretty ball, pretty ball, pretty ball. I love you. I'm going to study the ball and find out all the types in this ball. After a while, those linemen are going to wise up. They're going to say, look, Buster, you don't run, we don't block. Why should we get our head smashed in and nose smashed in and broken up there? And the line, bunch of 275 to 300-pound bruisers coming in trying to destroy us. You're supposed to run. Now you get that ball and run. If you'll run, we'll make a hole for you if you'll run. But if you don't run, we're going to let them kill you. Walter Payton says, pretty ball, pretty ball, pretty ball, pretty ball. I love you, ball. I want to study the ball. I'm going to go deep in the ball. Gather around the ball. Going to have a deeper life ball. And so the linemen get together and say, let's show him. So the quarterback, Jim McMahon, who got saved here this morning, he takes the ball, talks back to Walter Payton, and the linemen just step aside. And the other team just comes through and kills Walter Payton. They say, you know carry the ball, we know blocky. Yeah. Like the Chinaman who is being chased by a lion. He turned around and said, you like them at tracks, I'll make us some more. What I'm telling you here is this. I don't know what that had to do with it. But anyway, I just happened to think about it, and I wanted you to get it. I got a lot of things that don't have anything to do with the sermon, too. I call that filler. When it's 8:06 and I'm finished, and I've got to go till 8:30, I've got to put some filler in. But anyway, he says, they say, you know run, we know block. Some of you folks laugh or go home. You know run, we know block. God says, you know soul win, me know protect. What it says. You know soul win, drink poison, drop dead. You know soul win, get bit by a snake, drop dead. That's what it says. But you sow in the power of the Holy Spirit, drink poison, I'll protect you. And anything between here and that, I'll protect you. God is saying, my protection is dependent upon your obedience and the obedience being done in my power. So he says, you get the power of God. Now you get God's power upon you. Well, there are many steps to it, but the thing we don't do, most of us, is beg. I know today, I know this afternoon, I prayed for the power of God upon my sermon tonight. I know I prayed 500 times this afternoon alone for God to give me power while I preached. And I know that. And I know I prayed 10,000 times this week for God's power to rest upon my life. I know that. What did Jesus say? He said, tarry. That's what we don't do. We don't tarry. Tarry. Hang around. Get on your face before God. Beg for God's power. Plead for God's power. That's what he said. And they beg for the power of God. That's sort of what Matthew 16:18 means when Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We say, boy, that means the devil can attack the church and he'll not prevail. That's not what it says. It says the church is supposed to attack the world. And if we attack the world, see, it says the gates of hell shall not prevail. What does it mean? Gates don't go to war. Gates stay where they are. Gates don't attack. Gates are attacked. And God said, if the church attacks the world with the gospel, I'm not talking about going out and trying to pick a fight. I'm talking about you take the sword of the Spirit and cover an area and go house to house and like a blanket, you spread the gospel. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against church like that. But you're attacking. The church is attacking, not defending. Your job's not to defend. Your job's to attack. All over America, we got preachers defending the word. Don't defend the word. Use it. Somebody walks up to you and you got a gun and you pull it to him and say, I'm going to shoot you in the gizzard. And he says, I don't believe that gun will shoot. That doesn't matter. He'll believe it. As soon as he gets his gizzard starts tingling. He'll believe it. Fellow says, one more step, buddy, and I'm going to stick you with this knife. Fellow said, help me, that knife's sharp enough to stick me. Doesn't affect the sharpness of the knife. Do its work anyway. So somebody said, Brother House, what do you do with the person you're witnessing to if they don't believe the Bible? Use it on them. It'll stick them anyway. Use it. Use it. Here's a fellow. Here's a guy going to shoot somebody. Okay, he's in war. He says, okay, hold it. Fellow doesn't hold it. He says, and the enemy says, I don't believe that rifle will work. Well, you say, well, I can't use that one. He doesn't believe it'll work. I have to let you live, fella. You believe my sword's sharp? If you believe it's sharp, I'll use it. Don't believe it's sharp either? Oh, boy, I'm going to have to let you live. This book does its work whether they believe it or not. It's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So God says, you attack, I protect. You attack, the gates of hell shall not prevail. You obey me in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'll protect you against deadly serpents, against poison that you drink, and anything from there here. I'll protect you. I'll make a statement here. I'll guarantee you, it's going to shock you, I'll guarantee you there are more people get healed in this church. I'm talking about physically healed than in all Oral Roberts campaigns put together. God didn't say go into all the world and heal the sick, now I'll heal the sick. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel, now he'll heal the sick. That's good, isn't it? That's what God is saying. Why? Because the power that's unleashed for soul winning is the same power that heals. God doesn't give healing power. Did you hear what I said? God doesn't give healing power. God gives soul winning power. And that soul winning power is a byproduct is healing power. No soul win, no heal. I could truck folks by here all night tonight. All night. I could trot people in this room by this platform and have them testify all night, and I mean from now till sunup, whom God has miraculously healed. And I have never had a healing service or a healing line. I've organized this church by the grace of God for these 27 years and 3 months to go out and obey the Great Commission. And in obeying that Great Commission, I've preached on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power. And in because of that, God says, I'd like to keep my soul winners well. So the power that's for soul winning, God's Holy Spirit power, also cleanses us while it flows through us, also protects us from things trying to keep us from soul winning, and also keeps us well while we go soul winning so we can do it. No, nothing new to many of you. We're down here at the Civic Center. When this building was being doubled, we used to have a wall right here, and this is all the building we had. And this building was being doubled. We were at Civic Center for 5 months, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night for 5 months. Where did we meet on Wednesday night? The college. 5 months? Boy, I didn't realize we met 5 months at the college. Anyway, Sunday morning, Sunday night at the Civic Center. Sometimes we had to... One time we had Civic Centers being used. We had to go over here to East Chicago to some gymnasium over there for Sunday morning. We were the Israelites just wandering around all over the place. Never knew where to have church next. But, and we used the swimming pool at the Civic Center for baptistry. That's good, isn't it? But now, we were down at Civic Center one Sunday morning. And sitting right back there, about that part of the, on my left, about 75% back, a man in his 50s in our blind department. I mean, blind as a bat. I don't know if bats are blind, but he's blind. And he had been in our church for a long time. Maxine Jeffries knows him well. All of a sudden, he jumped up back there and he said, I can see. I can see. And man, he ran to the aisle. And he hit it. He saw it. He ran straight down the aisle. We had some steps over here on the side of the Civic Center platform. He runs up those steps. He said, I can see. I can see. I can see. Been blind for many, many, many years. Maybe all his life. I don't know. But all of a sudden, God opened his eyes. Never forget it. He stood right there, looked at me. How many folks were there that morning? Many of you were. You'll testify. You saw it. He looked at me, and I'll forget it. He said, "You know, I never have seen you. You're not as good looking as I thought you'd be." I said, "Go blind." Now, what did I do? Well, you know how that happened. We put a big ad in the paper. Going to have a blind eye healing service at Civic Center. No, we didn't do that. We had soul winning service at Civic Center. Same power that got the folks saved, God also used it to get that guy healed. Sitting right over there one Sunday night, I was preaching one Sunday night a certain sermon. I've preached it probably 25 times in my life. And by the way, that same sermon, I've never preached it without having a miracle. I'm talking about what you'd call, okay, a miracle against the laws of nature. That same sermon. I preached it one night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Well, right across the street from Hershey. I stayed there at the Hershey Hotel. And I preached the sermon on God's miracle-working power. When I finished the sermon, I told folks that had a request for prayer, for needed miracles. And I'm talking about something in your life that only God can do and man can't do it. Come down the aisle and tell me what it is, and I'll join you in prayer. A lady walked down the aisle. Oh, one teenage lad, 17-year-old boy, came and said, "I've got cancer, and I'm going to pray God will heal me from cancer," and so forth. A lady walked down the aisle after dozens of others, and she took my hand right at the altar, and she said, "I've got a husband that's mean as the devil." She said, "He hates preachers, he hates churches, he won't talk to a preacher, won't come to a church." She said, "If he ever gets saved," well, she said, "I'll be honest, I can't believe he ever will, but," she said, "I'm going to claim the promise of God that God will save him." I said, "Kneel here and pray." She knelt there. The fellow took my hand. He said, "I want to get saved." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm her husband." I said, "Did she know you were in church?" He said, "I wasn't in church." He said, I drive my wife to church and drive home and come back and get her." And he said, the services here are always over at a certain time." He said, "Now I got there at the usual time, but the service weren't over." Had a guest speaker. I was the guest speaker, known for my longevity. And he said, "I sat out in the car and cursed you. I cursed you." And he said, "I hated you." And I said, boy, I said everything bad. But he said, all of a sudden the car door opened. He said, the handle moved and the door opened. I didn't see it. I'll tell you what he told me. If it's a lie, blame him. Don't blame me. I'm telling you what he told me. And he said, "Well, since the door opened on its own, I figured I was supposed to get out." He said, "I got out, walked up to the church. You were singing the invitation." I said to myself, "Guess I better walk in." He said, "I walked in. You're having the invitation." I said to myself, "I never have been to church, and I probably won't ever go back again. So if I ever get saved, I better do it tonight." Now, I'm saying, I preached that same sermon right here. You thought I'd lost my place, didn't you? I did for a while. I just found out where I was. I preached that same sermon. Every time I've ever preached it, a miracle's taking place. I preached it standing right over there. And maybe after this building was built, I'm not sure. Anyway, sitting right over there was a student from Moody Bible Institute. I didn't know a thing that happened that night. Next week, got a letter. "Dear Dr. Howes, you preached on miracles last Sunday night." She said, "I have been blind in one eye for years, and the doctor said all the nerves in those eyes are dead. No way I could ever see. No surgery to help. Humanly impossible." She said, "While you're preaching that sermon," she said, "God opened that eye, and I started seeing with both eyes. I shut the good eye, and I could see out of that dead eye." Now, you say, "Is that true?" I don't know. That's what she said. She said it right over there. What do Bible Institute? What are you saying? I'm saying that God is telling us here that if you want to have his protection and miracle-working power, you get the power and use it for the thing it's supposed to be used for, and God will give you some byproducts of that power, such as cleansing you while it flows through and protecting you while you use it and while you obey God's command to go soul winning. I was preaching the other night near Rochester, New York, for our graduate, Tim Young. How many remember Tim Young? Lovely, lovely couple. I was preaching for him. He's doing a great work there. He runs, I'm guessing, 350 in Sunday school, but he rented a big high school gym that seated about 1,000, thing was overflowing, had people there from all over New York State, just about in other states too. And I preached that night, and in the sermon I told how that numbers of people in our church couldn't have children, and I anointed them with oil, and God gave them miraculously babies when the doctors said there's no way they could have a baby. When I finished preaching, I told about Dr. Cal Streeter. He and his wife came in. They couldn't have children. I anointed them with oil. Now they have, I think, 7 or 8. He came in one night and said, "You got an irreversible oil you can use on me." I told that story too. Now, wait a minute. Tim Young, when I finished preaching, Tim Young stood up and he said, "I'd like to testify." He said, "My wife and I couldn't have children. The doctor said it was impossible." And he said, "I can testify that Brother Howell's anointed us with oil." And he said, "There's the child," and pointed to the child. Years ago, I'd forgotten it, but he hadn't, of course. What am I saying? I'm saying that God's great miracle working power is a byproduct. The working of miracles is a byproduct. The power is given for soul winning. But God says, while you're going soul winning with this power, he said, there are other things it'll do too. Power is for helping, but it also cleanses, also protects. What America needs, sure, is preachers filled with the Holy Spirit. But America also needs lay people filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to break down that wall of partition tonight between the laity and the clergy concerning the power of the Holy Spirit. God says it's for young men and old men. God says that power for soul winning, of the Holy Spirit power for soul winning, is for handmaids. It's for servants. That's lay people. Sure, it's for preachers, but it's for you and 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 you. Laymen need his protection, don't they? You think when God promises to protect people, that wouldn't it be sad if it's only for the preacher? That's Catholicism. No, God's promises are to his people, not just his preachers. Then if God says, "I'll protect you if you go," then if protection's for everybody, the going's for everybody, isn't it? All right, if the going's for everybody, you're supposed to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means the power of the Holy Spirit's for everybody. Now, listen carefully, and I'm gonna wind this up. Follow me very carefully. Here's what happens. Concerning this power, we have made it sort of a spooky, one-time-in-a-lifetime deal. It's not just that. I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. You see, now follow me. Please follow me. The Holy Spirit's power. I've got to empty that water, so I'm going to throw it over here. The Holy Spirit's power is not like this. No. God doesn't fill you from the top. God fills you from the bottom. So it can go out. Like the hose. Like an artesian well. See? God doesn't fill you like that. No. God takes and you yield yourself to him and the water comes up and then overflows. Like that. Which means it's got to keep on coming. Now watch me carefully. If this is the way God fills you, then you get filled and you'll always be filled. Right? That's not the way he filled you. And that's why a lot of people, they've read the story of how Dwight Moody was filled with the Holy Spirit and for the first time, and how Savonarola was for the first time, and George Fox was for the first time. They've read those stories and they think, well, if I can just get that one time, that takes care of it. No, the only unusual thing about their fullness that they use in their books and use in their sermons was this was the first time. That's when it started. That's what makes it so wonderful. But you've got to keep it going. For example, here's a child. I think I'll pour this other one out too. But anyway, I got your attention, didn't I, in the choir? The devil made me do it. But you see, The reason that when Mr. Moody got filled with the Holy Spirit, if Mr. Moody had got filled with the Holy Spirit on Wall Street, New York City, and that was it, Mr. Moody would never have had a great ministry. He'd had a great service that night. But you got to keep that power coming. How do you keep that power coming? You keep it coming the way you got it. You keep begging for God's power. I beg for the power of God as much tonight as I did before I was filled with the Holy Spirit the first time. The book when Paul said in Ephesians, be ye filled with the Spirit, that is linear. Be ye being filled. Be ye being filled. It didn't say be filled one time, that's it. No, it didn't say that. It said be ye being filled and being filled and being filled. Why? Because you're supposed to overflow. Now, let me illustrate. Here's a little baby. Takes his first step. Does that mean that's... Say, oh, he took a step. Does that mean that's the last step he's going to take? No. Well, then why is it such a big deal? If he's going to take thousands and millions of more steps, why is it such a big deal when he took his first one? Because it was his first one. And that's why the fullness of the Holy Spirit is such a big deal when you first happened, because it's the first time. Here's a person that goes to school, first day in school. Becky, our oldest daughter, was 35 Friday. And I called her and talked to her on the phone for a while. And I remember the day she started school. What are y'all laughing about? I didn't say anything funny, did I? You thought I was going to say she's 35 when she started school, didn't you? Yeah. It's good to know you're there. Only way I know you're there is when I make mistakes. But anyway, I remember the day I drove Becky to a little school there in Garland, Texas, let her out, watched her walk up. I remember it like it was yesterday. Well, so she went to school, and that's it. She only went one day, that's all. Thank God! I'm a student. Oh, she's not. Well, why is that such a big day? Because it's the first day she went to school. And that's why being filled with the Holy Spirit. But see, what we've done, we've taken it because it is such an important thing when that first time the power of God comes to work through you. We that's such a wonderful thing when it starts, we think that that's it. No, it's not it. You've got to keep being filled. And you've got to keep that power flowing all the time. But you say, well, I've got it. No, you haven't got it. Truth is, if you've got what I'm talking about, you just lost it. It went out the top. It overflowed. You've got to keep that power coming. I can tell you, preacher after preacher after preacher across this nation, back yonder one time, for the first time, God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and some false doctrine caused him to believe that that's all he ever had to have, and that was for good. That's not for good. That's for now. It's like one old gal, Pentecostal meeting years ago, she said, glory to God, I'm filled with the Spirit. Her husband said, I'll live with you. You sprung a leak. Here's a couple gets married. Now, why is the wedding day such a wonderful day? It's a wonderful day because it's the beginning of the marriage. I say, well, okay, we're married. Bye-bye. No. It's not a wonderful day because you're married just one day. No, it's a wonderful day because it's the first day of marriage. But there are other days of marriage. And years. And decades. And for some of you, it seems like millenniums. But I'm saying that's the first day. Now, the reason that a lot of people used to be filled with the Holy Spirit and aren't now is because they thought it was once for all, and that's it. No, you don't beg and beg and beg for God's power, and then God sends on you the first time, you quit begging. No, you keep on begging for God's power like you did to get the power in the first place. And that power keeps on flowing through you. Now, look at me. Tonight, I haven't used any emotion at all. I've used logic and sense and Scripture. Now, listen to me. God has a power, and it's as much for you as it is for me. Now, how do you get that power? Well, first thing you got to do, you got to behave yourself. And you've got to be willing to use that power for the purpose that He gives it, and that's for carrying the message of the gospel. And God said, if you do that, I'll protect you. So if you want God's protection, you obey Him in the power He gave you. And that same power that comes through you cleanses you as it comes through. It comes through you to get people saved. It cleanses you as it comes through you. And it also is used to resist discouragement, defeat, melancholy, depression, opposition. God says, I'll protect you. But I only protect you if you go.
and if you go in the power of the Spirit I told you about a while ago. Why don't you decide to have this power? You say, oh, now it's not spooky. We preachers have made it spooky. Oh, God, you got to get your face in a certain shape. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. No, you don't have to do that. God's not interested in the shape of your face. He made a mistake when he made some of them, but God's not interested in the shape of your face. And that won't help you one bit. Oh, I know what you got to do. You got to get down on the floor and beat on the floor. I'm sorry, but if you want to beat on the floor, that's okay. But if you beating on the floor or throwing up something up the ceiling, doesn't make any difference. Hanging on a wall, I don't mean difference. It is when a Christian decides, I want God's power enough to be clean, be faithful, be obedient, and then I'll beg him, and I'll beg him, and I'll beg him, and I'll beg him. And it becomes a part of your life. Ma Sunday told me that while she was walking down the street, she never knew whether Billy was talking to her or God. I traveled 22 years with John Rice. I can hear him now in the back seat of a car going to the service at night. He said, oh God, power, oh God. Holy Spirit, give me power. Oh, God. And they'd talk to us a while, and then I'd hear, oh, God, oh, God. You see, it permeates your whole life. I'm no spook. I never have been one of these Christians that said, beloved, this is casting out demons time. I've never cast out a demon. Cast out a few deacons in my life, but never any demons. But no, that's not it at all. It's not. Ooh. One lady came in years ago down at Toccoa, Georgia. She said, Dr. Hiles, she said, you strike me as being one who's very deep in the Scriptures. I got spooky too. I said, thank you. She said, do you know the deep things of God? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, do you know the revelation symbols? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. Oh, she said, I like your spiritual depth. I said, yeah, me too. She said, over in Revelation, she said, it talks about a horse over there. She said, do you know what that horse symbolizes? I said, yes, I do. She said, what? I said, a horse. She said, it says it's a white horse. Does that have any special meaning to you? I said, yes, it does. She said, what is it? I said, it's the color of the horse. I'm not talking about a spooky kind of Christianity that doesn't relate to anybody in the world. I'm talking about a sincere, down-to-earth, down-home, honest, kind, pardon the expression, even a bit earthy, not worldly, but earthy, that does not have to cloak God's power in special, have you been regenerated? Guy says, my car is working pretty good as far as I know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, okay, let's just take a minute, and here's a little housewife, and she has children she's trying to rear and a house to care for, and she has a husband she's trying to please. And she has many duties, and so through the household, maybe she's ironing. And while she irons, she says, oh, Spirit of God, give me power in my life. Give me power in my life. And as she washes the dishes or cleans the table, Spirit of God, give me power. Doesn't mean you do it all the time. But a sincere hunger to have God's power in everything you do. It's available for you little ladies. It's available for you fellows that work in factories. It's available to everybody. This sweet, blessed power of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to have. And He says, I'll give it to you if you'll use it for the purpose. What's the purpose? To get people saved. But He said, I got some byproducts too. He said, I'll keep you well while you do it. Unless being sick will help you do it better. And He said, if you drink anything this deadly or get bit by a snake, I'll take care of that, or anything between here and there, I'll take care of that for you. And he says, also, when you get this power flowing through you, just like the water cleanses the hose, though the purpose of the water is not to cleanse the hose, a sweet byproduct will be that that power that flows through you will purge you and cleanse you. It's a wonderful, sweet power, and it's the Holy Spirit, a person, that's all. So don't get spooky, and don't get scared, and don't think you're going to have to roll down the aisle and froth at the mouth and do cartwheels over the Lord's Supper table. No. If you want to do it, I don't care. A fella ran down the aisle one night, and I was preaching in Greenville, South Carolina, pulled the Lord's Supper table out and ran around it all the time I was preaching. Hollered and screamed and bellowed. I didn't stop him. He's having fun. Everybody else was screaming so they couldn't hear me anyhow, so I just kept on hollering with them. But the hollering didn't do it. God just soon hear a whisper as a holler. Now sometimes a holler may seem, may be evident more earnestness. Like if you say, fire, fire, house on fire. Only if the loud volume signifies more concern and more earnestness. But oftentimes I can be just as earnest when I'm whispering, oh God, I need your power on my life. God, I need your help. I need your power. I got a lot of things I've got to do and a lot of things for which I'm responsible. I need your power. And the sweet Holy Spirit of God begins to flow. And he flows, and while he flows, it cleanses. That's the way you keep a clean mind. You keep the Holy Spirit going through the hose all the time. You keep the Holy Spirit going through your mind all the time, he'll cleanse you as he goes through. But we're so busy trying to attack the enemy and fight our battle. I've got to have a clean mind. I've got to have a clean mind. I've got to have a clean mind. That's like the hose. I haven't got any water in it. I've got to be clean. I've got to be clean. Well, you stupid hose, turn yourself on. Get the water flowing through you in order to make the flowers grow. But as the water comes through to make the flowers grow, he cleanses you. It cleanses you as he comes. It's available for you. Everybody. Young man? Yeah. Old man? Yeah. I've been claiming that one a little more lately. Old man? I prayed this prayer. I must confess it. I did it because Dr. Rice used to pray it so much at me. When Dr. Rice got 60 and on 65 and 70, I can hear him now. Oh, God. You said you'd pour out your spirit on young men, but I'm not young. But it said, Lord, you pour out your spirit on old men too. I'm old now. I'm not as strong as I used to be. But Lord, you promised to do that. Yeah. And I'm claiming that more and more now. Young men, old men, yeah. Preachers, yeah. But also laymen, yeah. Bosses, yeah. Servants, uh-huh. Fellow owns the place, yeah. Lady that cleans it? Yeah. It's for everybody. A clean, sincere effort to serve God.